Sawbones is a show about medical history, and nothing the hosts say should be taken as medical advice or opinion. It's for fun. Can't you just have fun for an hour and not try to diagnose your mystery boil? We think you've earned it. Just sit back, relax, and enjoy a moment of distraction from that weird growth. You're worth it.
All right. Song is about some books. 1, 2, 1, 2, 3, 4.
Welcome to Sawbones, a marital tour of misguided medicine. I'm your co-host, Justin McElroy.
And I'm Sydney McElroy.
Sid, this is so weird.
I know, I don't like this.
This is so strange. This is the first episode. Is this the first episode ever that we've done like this?
Yes.
It is, right?
This is the first one ever that we have not been sitting either next to each other or directly across from each other while recording. At least not like we are virtually directly across from each other.
Through the web, yeah.
We're Skyping.
I'm at the McElroy Studios Cincinnati location here at Travis's office. We're on our book tour for the Adventure Zone graphic novel. Get it today at theadventurezonecomic.com. First week sales are so important, folks. Please get out and buy 14 to 16 copies for yourself.
I plugged it on my other podcast, too.
Thank you so much. Travis has a framed photo of himself. Just himself. I'm looking at right now. This is amazing.
Of course Travis does.
No other family, just Travis. Anyway,
of course Travis does.
So we are trying something a little untraditional for Sawbones. I wanted to try my hand at researching one, and Sydney said, basically, here, take my light work. She basically said, this is a grounder, I think. Mm-hmm. That even you, Justin McElroy, will be able to field.
Yes. I was trusting that you would be able to, like, that you've learned enough about what's real and what's probably not in medicine that you would be able to figure this one out.
Yeah.
On your own.
Now, she says that. She also has told me about the things she has independently looked up about this topic because I think she didn't 100% trust Chaboy, but that's fine.
Well, I think it's always important. It's not enough just to say, hey, doesn't this sound like it's totally made up? Well, then it probably is. No, we got to prove that it's totally made up. And so that's kind of where I come in.
You actually don't have to prove that it's totally made up. Because you can't prove a negative, right? It's the absence of proof. It's not proof that it is totally made up.
Okay, that's fair. But I think that when I say, and also they did a peer-reviewed research like study on it, and it showed that it was made up, that's a little more.
That's fine.
There are
that's
a lot fine. Of, Justin, we have talked about this on the show before. There are a lot of things that are true about the human body and the way that it works that sound made up, but they are 100% true. I reference the inner ear again.
We are going to talk today about applied kinesthesiology.
Yes.
Now I want to differentiate, because this is very important. Applied kinesthesiology sounds super real because kinesthesiology is a weird thing. First off, that word is spelled kinesiology.
And it's not kinesiology.
What?
It's not kinesiology.
Or maybe it is. Either way. Kinesiology? Is that how you pronounce it? It's a wild word, is what I'm saying. This is a wild word. I'm not gonna get onto YouTube while we're talking and Google the word and hear the pronunciation of it. You just need to accept
You're doing it, aren't you? You're doing it.
Okay, it's kinesiology. You were right. I was mispronouncing it. This is a terrible start,
it's kinesiology. You're off to a bad start,
but still, kinesiology is a real field. That's a study of how the human body moves, like motor performance of stuff, and they use that in like biochemistry and biomechanics and kinesiology. It's a study of how the body moves.
Yes.
Applied kinesiology is not that.
No.
Applied kinesiology is alternative medicine. Oh, there's so many great synonyms. No. Euphemisms I found for made up medicine while doing this. Alternative, supportive, is that one?
Mm-hmm. Complementary and alternative medicine is generally what we refer to it as.
So anyway, applied kinesiology was created by this chiropractor named George Goodhart, which is a very good start. If that sounds legitimate, your name's Goodhart. It's very good.
He had a good heart.
He had a good heart, or at least the last name that indicated that he had a good heart. Now, he was kind of an unorthodox cat. Time did a profile of him in 2000 that described him as, and I'm quoting here, a meat-eating Republican who wears a coat and tie everywhere, including the breakfast table.
What does that have to do with his science?
I don't know. I think it was like to contrast him with other new age alternative healthcare practitioners. Like, he's not the kind of guy you'd expect to make things up.
So this is Ron Swanson.
Exactly. Ron Swanson, if he was really into chakras.
Okay.
But not chakras is not what we're talking about. He was kind of an unconventional cat. He was a bomber pilot in World War II, mm-hmm. won a Bronze Star for inventing this new kind of bomb release mechanism that apparently mm-hmm. was much more precise than the one before it.
Okay.
And then became a chiropractor. Again, unconventional. Wasn't a fan of fluoride. So he made it up in 1964. And I do mean made it up pretty deliberately. He created mm-hmm. applied kinesiology in 1964. And he started roping in a bunch of other chiropractors and showing them how to do it and trying to institutionalize it, build best practices for it, whatever. So what is this practice, applied kinesiology?
Yeah, what do you do?
Kinesiology? Am I saying that right now?
Kinesiology.
I think I am. Kinesiology.
Yeah, okay. What do you do?
So I want to specifically talk about a flavor of applied kinesiology, but we're going to get to that. But it's important that you understand first the big picture idea. The idea is that muscle weakness can indicate disease or disorder in other parts of the body that are not directly connected to the thing that you are testing for, right?
Mm-hmm.
So let me give you an example, right? You test your, you know how Sid, you can measure thyroid function by testing someone's Achilles tendon? I read that. You can tap someone's Achilles tendon to measure thyroid function to see how fast the tibial muscle jerks.
Okay.
Okay. Not applied kinesiology. This is an actual idea that is real.
Yeah.
Okay, but I'm saying
that's not how we test people for hypothyroidism.
Okay, but in 2000, when this Time article was written that I was referencing this data from, that is something that you could do, right? It's like a real thing you could do.
No one does that.
Okay, but you could do it.
There's
Sydney,
nobody out there who's testing Achilles tendons to look for hypothyroidism. They're just testing your TSH or your free T4.
But that was a real test.
You can, okay. This is rough. Okay, I don't reduce reflexes in the case of let's just posit that this is accurate. There might be a scientist out there who decides to check on these things. Go for it.
That might be something you could test, right?
Okay.
So applied kinesiology it sort of posits is that idea could expand beyond just that to basically everything in the body. Again, in this Time piece that was written about him in 2000, it said he prods and palpates patients head to toe searching for tiny tears where muscles attach to bone. These tears feel, he says, like a BB under a strip of raw bacon, which is deliciously evocative language, George. When directional pressure is applied, the BBs flatten and slack muscles snap back, their strength restored. And this is the important part. That, says Goodhart, may help strengthen a weakened organ. So he believed that muscles and organs are linked by... So the term that I'm about to use depends on what sort of field of medicine you're talking about. It's a system of invisible pathways that your body is linked by. Now, in mm-hmm. some... This already
sounds really legitimate. A system of invisible pathways.
In some cultures, they might call this chi or meridians. It's the same sort of basic idea that acupuncturists would use, that there mm-hmm. are parts of your body that are interconnected, right? So that is the idea with kinesiology. Applied kinesiology is that by detecting this weakness in the body, you can detect a problem with like a system of your body that is not working particularly well.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
I mean, I understand what you're saying. The words make sense.
So
I'm sorry. I really don't think your Achilles tendon would be. I mean, unless you're in like a hypothyroidism induced coma, like a myxedema coma. But I mean, still, your reflexes work. I'm still having trouble with that concept.
Okay, but I can tell you're very much hung up on that.
Let's talk about this invisible system that you're referencing.
Okay.
So you're talking about some things like meridians, which we don't necessarily recognize as part of Western medicine. Did I put that nicely?
But I read when I was Googling this maybe we do because of the discovery of primovascular system.
Right.
Did I say that right?
So,
yeah, I saw a cat at Auburn studied it and a North Korean guy studied it. So that's two. That's pretty much a consensus.
Okay. So I had not heard of the primovascular system. So I'll lift the curtain. Justin asked me while he was researching this, have you heard of this? No, I'm going to have to look into this because, like you said, there was a researcher at Auburn who was trying to like prove these results from this, North Korean researcher from the 60s. And so I started reading. First of all, you need to know that this theory that was created in the 1960s by Dr. Bong Han Kim in 1962. He basically just said he saw these little blood vessels that no one else had seen before.
Okay.
These tiny little, like you said, they're almost invisible. They're not invisible, but because he claimed to have seen them. He talked about like these vessels that existed that he called like bongian ducts, and that there were nodes along them, and they're like, he called them corpuscles, and that there was a liquid in them that contained a bunch of DNA that he called like bongian liquor. So like he named all this stuff for himself. He said that he observed all of this. He said that this proved what meridians were. This is how everything's connected. This is why acupuncture works, et cetera, et cetera. He published a series of what are called research reports. These are not peer reviewed studies. These are, I saw this stuff. Here is me typing out all the stuff that I saw. And here's maybe some pictures of what I saw. And here it is. And then he stopped and kind of vanished. And that was the end of it. So, and it's important to know
anyway,
that.
Anyway, that's my science, folks. That's time for me. I'm out.
I'm scienced out. It's important to note that these were a series of research reports based on, I saw this stuff, so it must be real. And when you start to dig into, like, once people started to try to reproduce his results, first of all, people were having a great difficulty actually reproducing any of this. I think this scientist at Auburn is the first person to kind of come close to sort of reproducing what he found. So that's a problem. That's why we peer review stuff, because if it's not reproducible, is it right, or did you make a mistake, or did you make it up, or what? Secondly, there's a lot of conflicting information in this vascular system that supposedly is so small that we can only see by electron microscopy, but on the other hand, can be dyed blue with certain dyes. And on the other hand, these vessels are so tiny that you can't do tests on them, but then they refer to them as being like low resistance vessels, which, so you did testing on them, if you know that. A lot of the information about them is very conflicting and it's hard to follow. And I think that just throwing a dye at a tissue and seeing little blue lines on it is not enough for me as a scientist to say, oh, there's a whole other vascular system that exists in the human body that no one in history has ever been able to find. I have a lot of problems with this.
Okay, so when stuff gets Sydney's this bummer corner where she just can't let go. Can't let people have their fun.
Well, if you're going to create a new vascular system in the human body, like if you're going to claim that that exists, you better have some solid proof. And I have read a lot of these papers on it to try to figure out what the heck it is. And a lot of people who are doing studies on it are starting with the assumption that it's real and it exists and then trying to theorize on it based on that. And I don't think anyone has ever definitively proven that it's real or just something that, I mean, I don't know. There are lots of little structures. I have dissected a human body in my,
here we go,
in my history.
She brings this into every argument we've ever had.
And it's like there's a lot of stuff in there that when you start dissecting tissues, if you started just throwing random dyes around, you could find a lot of stuff and go, what is that? I don't know. And I mean, it can be very confusing. I don't blame researchers for getting confused sometimes and thinking maybe they discovered something new when it's just like a different, you know, so, pathway that a certain vessel or nervous structure or something follows.
So that's the official word from Sydney. Very exciting research. Still a little too early to make a lot of hard, fast decisions, but she's keeping an open mind and she's excited to see what the future holds. Anyway, now you, Sydney, have to follow me, Justin McElroy, to the billing department.
Let's go. The medicines that escalate macabre
for the mouth. Okay, so now we're going to talk about nutrition response therapy, which is actually what got me interested in applied kinesiology.
Is this like one facet of it?
It's like a flavor of it. It's
okay.
I don't know if someone who was doing nutrition response therapy would say, oh, this is applied kinesiology. It is. It's a specific varietal of it.
Okay.
of applied kinesiology.
All right.
Okay. So it's created by a Dr. Freddie Ulan in Ulan, maybe perhaps Ulan is Ulan, mm-hmm. in 1991 because he almost died. That's right. It was serious. He was having all sorts of health problems, he said. And I want to read this quote from the website about Dr. Ulan. I couldn't find a satisfactory answer and almost died as a result. Internal weaknesses, toxicities, oops, that's such a bad start, doc.
Mm-hmm.
And imbalances traceable to a steady diet of adulterated food were literally killing me. No wonder my adjustments didn't hold. And my pains and multiple body dysfunctions became resistant to my colleagues' most excellent efforts. In the end, it was up to me, with the help of my wife, Dana, to bring myself to life. I set about to complete my education in nutrition and diagnostic methods that were available in 1991, including applied kinesiology in its many variations. We found so many deficiencies that it seemed like I would choke to death on vitamins if I didn't bring my pill count under control. This drove me to develop our current methods of dosing. My adjustments started holding again, and with the reduced and corrected subluxations, my health started to return. That's an interesting bit of wiggle room that he talks about, the adjustments holding. And that's a really interesting thing that you see sometimes with chiropractors, especially I would say ones that are like less reputable. The idea that an adjustment, your chiropractic adjustment, doesn't hold, quote unquote, is a nice bit of wiggle room for like why something doesn't work. Like this this chiropractor practice should be working. That's so weird. There mm-hmm. must be something else wrong that this chiropractic procedure is not holding.
Right. And I think that's a good, like, whenever I hear that, I always think, well, that's something for the medicine that I believe in. Cause I'm not so bold as to think we get everything right with Western modern medicine. But if somebody comes back in and the medication I give them, they say like, well, it hasn't improved my mood like you said it would, or my blood pressure is still high. I'm not telling you that it's tested. It's still high. I don't say, there's something else going. I'm willing to say maybe this treatment method failed and maybe we need to take a step back and try another treatment method. I think you always have to be willing to say that. And if you're not, my red flags go up.
So what is nutrition response testing? Okay, so nutrition response testing is, I'm going to walk you through a session real quick because otherwise I don't think it'll make sense to you. And you can actually find plenty of videos of people doing this baffling procedure on YouTube. They all do it with a straight face, which is pretty impressive to me. So, okay, Cindy, I'm going to pretend that you're lying down on like a, a doctor bed. I don't know what you call it. A
examination table.
There we go. Okay. The first thing we need to figure out, Sydney. Shut
up. How creeped out would you be if you went to your doctor and they're like, okay, now, sir, please lay down on this doctor bed.
Okay, fine. The first thing that you're going to figure out is, first thing I'm going to figure out as your nutrition response tester is, can you be tested?
Okay.
So I'm going to have you press up with your arm and I'm going to press back down. And we're going to see if you can hold a lock. This idea of a lock is really important. It's your ability to press back against me and resist my pressure, match my pressure, basically. Mm-hmm. That is a lock if you can match my pressure. If I can push your arm down, that means you don't have a lock. And that is sometimes bad and sometimes good. So the first thing I'm going to do is just see if you can match my pressure.
Okay.
If you can lock, that means that you can be tested via this method.
Next. I would not be able to because I have very poor upper body strength.
Okay, fair enough. Next, I'm going to see if you can be treated. So I'm going to press on your umbilicus, on your tummy. And
that's my belly button, my umbilicus. It's belly button.
If it doesn't lock, then you can be fixed. Okay?
What? So wait, hold on. If my tummy doesn't lock...
No, I'm going to press anytime I'm talking about a lock, I'm talking about you pushing up with your arm, me pushing back with your arm.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sorry. I was going to say, because I had a baby not too long ago. My tummy's pretty squishy.
What I'm saying is that I'm going to be interfacing with your umbilicus a lot, and then you're going to lock based on that not lock. The next thing I'm going to do, and this is where it just goes for it, is I'm going to test for switching. And that means I'm going to have you touch your pinky and thumb.
Uh-huh.
Okay. And then I'm going to have you press down. Okay. And if you can maintain a lock, that means there's no switching.
That means you don't have carpal tunnel syndrome.
No. What is switching? Well, switching means that everything or a lot of things will work in reverse to you. So like maybe you're somebody who drinks a lot of caffeine and it just makes you very tired. That's an actual example one of these cats uses. And so, like, you have switching. So, basically, what switching means, and this is very complex, is that anything that I would do for you normally after your nutrition response testing, I would do the reverse of it.
Uh-huh.
It is so Calvin Ball. Okay, so the next...
How, when this is being explained from, like, a practitioner to people who want to also practice it, like, when you're training trainers, as soon as you hear something like that, how are you not like, oh, so are we... This is fake, right?
Okay,
like we're just doing this to fool
like,
people.
How does anybody in the system?
Okay, all
like,
right. I know. I don't know.
I was reading an article about it, and somebody's like, "I promised myself I'd keep an open mind about nutrition response testing." Why? Don't stop. Anyway,
yes.
The next thing is find the problem. So I'm going to press on areas and keep testing for lock. Mm-hmm. I'm going to test for a lock as I press on different areas of your body. They call it a body scan, right? So, if you can lock, that means that there's not a problem. But if I touch a part of your body and you can't maintain a lock, then there's an issue there. Then this is the one that's like, that is so baffling to me. you're going to, you put the person into, using another one of the like little method, I think you touch your middle and your thumb together.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That puts you into priority mode. So they test the areas that there were weakness while they put your body in priority mode with your thumb and your middle finger touching.
Sorry.
And that, and then if you can maintain a lock with that, that helps them to figure out if what the problem is, the actual priority. So then they're going to test this part of the body that they've discovered is the priority, that is actually the issue. And they're going to test it by using test kits that contain, and I'm quoting here, homeopathic frequencies of different items. They look like VHS cases mm-hmm. with a bunch of vials taped to them. There's two different VHS cases, each of which have two different sides that they could test you with. And they contain the homeopathic frequencies of stuff like, there's one side of one of the VHS cases that is foods. There's another side that's immune challenges. One of the sides of the VHS cases is chemicals. And so they put that on you and they're like, okay, if you have weakness with one of those sides pressed against you, then they're like, okay, heavy metals, that's your problem. Let's narrow it down. Let's figure out the exact. And I know what you're thinking. Where on earth are people getting these test kits from? Well, good news is you can buy them from Dr. Ulan for $565.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
No problem.
Sure.
No problem.
That's so nice of them.
So nice. So then you would you'd get the vial of the stuff that's supposed to fix it, and you basically would put it on them, on their umbilicus again, and test lock. And if you can get a good lock, then that is the medicine that you need. And then you take out a certain amount of that medicine and put it in their hand to figure out the dosage. So you like put one pill in, test for lock.
So
put two pills in, test for lock.
Why? I'm okay. Why yep. do? Let's suppose for a second that you actually have some sort of, that any of this makes sense. Why, what is their rationale? People who believe in this, what is their honest to goodness rationale for why putting a substance on your body that you supposedly are deficient in will why placing it on you would help fix that deficiency? Why
it's you, for this to work, for this to work, you have to accept the idea that there is energy.
So it's the energy of the substance that will fix you, not the substance itself?
No, the energy of the substance is you being used in the diagnosis, right?
But why would it, but like if you put the correct substance on their solar plexus or whatever, it will it will make them lock.
Right.
And but so you've kind of fixed it.
Yeah, but they can't hold pills to their tummy all the time. And also, what you're talking about is a diagnostic method. So, like, the problem could be with your pancreas or something.
Uh-huh.
And you know, you could tell that, obviously, because, I don't know, their left ear didn't produce a lock or something like that.
I see.
So it's like, oh, your problem with your pancreas, so take this medicine.
It still doesn't make sense, but I understand the sense they're trying to make it make. If I find somebody is deficient in vitamin D, which I find by having them have a blood level of vitamin D drawn, and then if it's too low, I give them a pill and say, this is vitamin D, you should swallow it, and it will go inside you, and then you will have more vitamin D.
Okay. Well, all right. Part of this is not necessary. Treatment is sometimes, but a lot of times what you're looking for is allergies.
Okay.
Does that make sense? And real and imagined, like allergies to, oh, you have, there's like toxicity in your water. I saw one of these videos.
Oh,
I'm
going to
leap through the friggin' screen. The guy's like, have you been drinking tap water? It's like, yeah, until a couple years ago, I stopped. Like, well, there's your problem. Like, honestly, dude, fall down a well like baby Jessica. I'm like, I have zero patience. Like, so you're going to bring down tap water too? Like, seriously. Seriously.
Yeah, that's a very dangerous message to send to people, because all those plastic bottles from bottled water, we already know, are a problem. A lot of people can't afford to be constantly buying
We can't get back on the water.
Sorry.
I know. I'd love to go all in on tap water right now.
The majority of places your tap water is safe. And when it's not, we usually know about it. Not that the government does anything about it, but we know about it.
And a lot of it is even more. Okay. So if you search for nutrition response testing, the very first video in the results, at least for me, featured a practitioner helping her patient to get off of his hypertension and diabetes medication. So a lot of times you're testing for, you're having a reaction to your medication. Let me figure out a way to help get you off of it. So it's like,
I don't like that.
Yeah, no kidding, Sid. So it's very legitimate. And here's the thing that's going to mess y'all up. Not necessarily, applied kinesiology is bunk. There's nothing to support it.
Right. And to back that up, I looked up some studies on this I had no reason to think it was real, but it always helps when somebody's done the footwork and figured it out. They did a study where they, it wasn't a huge study. This was only, it was less than 20 people, but, like practitioners, but they had them check the same patients. And what they were looking for was if two different people who practiced this tested the same patient, would they get the same results? If they actually said they had some sort of deficiency, let's test them and see if they have it. Were they right? If we replace the deficiency they say they have, either with the real substance or placebo, does it make a difference? And can they accurately judge muscle strength? So let's actually test the strength of these muscles versus what they say is weak and strong. And basically what they found was all of it was fake. All of it was made up. Random guessing is as effective as nutritional response therapy.
Now, here's the thing that's going to mess you up about applied kinesiology. It is used by in North America. It's used by 37% of chiropractors. So or utilized or at the very least sort of like supported. But in the studies that I found, utilized by like a third of chiropractors.
That's very concerning. I didn't know chiropractors were doing this, and we've never gotten into chiropractic medicine. And in part, it's one of those things where like there are a lot of things that have bad roots. And so if you start to get into the roots of chiropractic medicine, it sounds really fishy. But then that doesn't necessarily mean that all chiropractors who are practicing today are doing these fishy things, are doing these mm-hmm. totally dangerous, non-evidence-based things. But obviously, if your chiropractor's doing this, I wouldn't go to them. I would leave them.
That's why I wanted to like mention this is like if maybe you've had a chiropractor do this. They are maybe not the best fit for somebody that actually wants things to be better.
Yeah, because how can you trust anything else they're doing if they're doing this?
So the question, the last thing I wanted to touch on is why? Because like for some people, this you watch the videos and stuff and it's like, well, why are they able to do this sometimes and not able to do it other times? Like it seems that way, right? One test that you'll see that's very interesting is, and this is more of the kind of test that you would see like an actual scam, like a huckster try to do, right? You can have someone put their arms out and press on the top of their arm and knock them off balance. And you put something at their umbilicus that's supposed to improve their strength. And in one of the things I read, they used vials all the time, and this person's problem was work. They worked at Boeing, and they said they couldn't have a vial of Boeing, so they just had the person think about Boeing, think about their job, and then they were able to knock them off balance. And a lot of it can be done by pushing people in different ways, like trying to knock them off balance versus a way you can push their arm down that is just going to make them more stable.
That's so frustrating because you take away like the obviously it's dangerous to tell people to stop taking their anti-hypertension medications or their diabetes medications. Obviously, that's dangerous. I mean, I think we all know why strokes, mm-hmm. heart attacks, losing your eyesight, your feet, kidney function. Lots of reasons why this is dangerous. But if somebody is having if your problem, let's say your problem really is your job. Let's say that you feel bad because your job is so Like, it makes you so miserable. You are so stressed out. It's creating depression. It's creating anxiety because there is a thing in your life that is harming you to a physical extent, which can happen. Relationships can do that. Situations, work environments, all kinds of things can do that to our bodies. And that's truly why you're feeling bad. Then there's a way to confront that and discuss that with a therapist, with a psychologist, with a counselor, with your family, with your friends, with the people at your work. There are ways to tackle that and confront that and decide if this is really a healthy thing in your life or not. And you don't need fake science for that.
You're exactly right, Sid. But I do want to mention for some people, that the true believers, this still works, even if they're not doing a fake way of pushing your arm to make you fall off balance. This still works, and the reason why is actually the same reason that Ouija boards work. It's called the ideomotor phenomena, and basically, the short version is that a part of your brain, I believe the left parietal lobe, can cause your muscles to move without your conscious brain realizing that it's doing it. Mm. So in the same way that if you put your hands on a Ouija board, it can seem that it's moving, when in actuality, it's your subconscious mind, proved by if you put a blindfold on, then the spirits or what have you lose the ability somehow to communicate through you through the Ouija board. In the same way, your response to whatever the test is, you may not think consciously that you're doing it, but you are the one that is deciding whether or not your arm will move or not.
High school Sydney is so disappointed that you just debunked Ouija boards.
Sorry. There's a well-known skeptic named Ray Hyman who wrote about how he and another skeptic, they did this test on applied kinesiology. I don't want to wrap this here. So this group of chiropractors claimed that they could tell when a patient had glucose, which they figured was a bad sugar, and fructose, a good sugar.
Interesting.
By putting a drop of the dissolved sugar on a patient's tongue, and then they tested the muscle strength, right? So you had, this is still applied kinesiology, it's the same idea, but they claim that they could tell by testing the muscle strength whether or not the patient had had good sugar or bad sugar.
Okay.
So fruit-based sugar or glucose. And they could tell which is which, but by testing the muscle response, they could tell the difference between the good sugar and the bad sugar, as long as they knew which was as long as the chiropractors knew which was the good sugar and which was the bad sugar. When they did not know that, when they were put under double blind conditions, ideal research conditions, it didn't work. And this skeptic writing this piece that I was reading, he said the one of the chiropractors came to him, to Ray Hyman, and said, and it's a quote, "You see, this is why we never do double blind testing anymore. It never works." And he says in there that he thought initially that he was joking. But what this guy is saying, that he believed in this so hard that it had to be the testing that was wrong, because he believed in applied kinesiology so hard. So that is all I have to say about that and nutrition response testing. Be careful out there. Be careful out there.
Yeah, don't waste your money on this. This means nothing. And if your chiropractor is doing this, I would consider going elsewhere.
Yeah, your chiropractor is perhaps not the best fit. So that is going to do it for us this
good
week.
Good job, thanks, Justin.
Thanks, Sid. I did my best.
You researched. This was a completely fake thing, but you did well. You researched it well. You found that study. You didn't even mention it. The study I found in the Journal of the Academy of Nutrition and Dietetics.
Yeah.
The one that I've cited.
Oh, yeah.
You had it in your notes. You found the study.
Doc, I forgot the most important part of Sydney's job on Sawbones. Dr. Goodhart died in 2008. You always have to say that the person died. Otherwise, it's a question. So I just wanted to mention that he did die in 2008.
Jeez, Justin.
You know, also another trivia about Goodhart. He was the first official chiropractor of the U.S. Olympic team. Folks, that is going to do it for us. Thanks to everybody. Thanks to everybody for listening and for being so kind to us and reviewing the show on iTunes and pre-ordering our book, bit.ly/thesawbonesbook. Go pre-order it now, please. It really helps. And that's going to do it for us, folks. So until next time, my name is Justin McElroy.
I'm Sydney McElroy.
And as always, don't drill a hole in your head.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned.
Listener supported.